I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Forget vinyl. It is CDs that young people want to get their hands on these days. Sellers say that physical media like CDs and cassette tapes and VHS are increasingly achieving cult status. That dreaded descriptor, cult status, here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And in fact, put a silver lining in this particular cloud, you might have a gold mine sitting in a box in your garage collecting dust. Upper Hutt is the owner of Creeps Record Parlour in Wellington, and he joins me now from our Wellington studio. Kia ora.
Kia ora, mate.
You must get sick of being asked this, but is Upper Hutt your real name?
So I'm actually from the Hutt.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that. Normally I don't tell people that I'm from the Hutt, but yeah, it's fine.
Fair enough. Tell me a bit about Creeps then. Paint a picture for us, actually. When someone steps into your store, what do they see?
If you can imagine a really, really rad space filled with music, pop culture, kitsch, really weird, interesting, and a whole lot of pink, and a whole lot of turquoise, and just a really cool rad store. Very new town, very Wellington, and just full of, you know, you can look high and low. There's boxes, there's things in boxes behind corners. Pretty much all 95% of the store, you can look. In and around, and below there are boxes of videos, CDs, records, toys, video games.
Is this the culmination of like a lifelong dream for you? Like, have you been planning this space in your mind's eye for a long time before you actually made it a reality? It's just, I love the wistful nature of your voice when you're describing it, you know?
I mean, this is actually my 12th year, and it's the fourth record store. It's the third actual branded record store I've had. So we had Evil Genius, Death Ray Records, and now Creeps Record Parlour, but it's the fourth store. The first two were mostly just about music. And then the third one, the current Creeps, we had a smaller space that just had records, and I tried to do sort of like kitsch, vintage, retro homeware from the 60s and 70s, and some toys and videos, and that, and it didn't really work because it was such a tiny space. But moving into the old Flying Nun store in Newtown, it's sort of, I've got more space to collect and put more things out. But I've actually just been a really full-on op shopper for years, and I've always just picked up things that are just weird and interesting, you know, junk with some quirky and weird to me, and like treasure and just things. Kitschy is, I love things that are kitsch and strange and cult and pop culture-y, and yeah.
And now CDs are kitsch.
Not quite.
Not
quite.
But they're back. They're back.
They are back. Yeah. Yeah. They're slowly making their way back. And I've definitely noticed that.
Why is that? Because, like, you know, when it comes to vinyl, you can understand the attraction, both aesthetically, you know, they look nice, they're big, they're elegant, but people also like vinyl for the high-quality sound. The same, I don't know, can't quite be said of CDs, can it? Like, what's behind this?
Probably one of the biggest things, and this is basically to do with inflation, is the cost of vinyl. Now, you could, for example, you could go and buy a stock standard, let's say Into the Wu-Tang from Wu-Tang, and that was always like a $40 record. And now it moved to 45 and then 50 and now 55. So the cost of vinyl's gone up. But if you are sort of like like a hip hop collector, or you're in especially hip hop and R&B and pop music and other things like that, the price of vinyl has gone up. Mm. Not that I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, but a Taylor Swift record is $80 to $120,
yeah,
and kids can't afford that. So for them, they still want music. They still want to collect things. I know that Spotify is really huge with young people, but the thing is, us humans, we love owning things.
Something tactile, eh? Something you can touch.
Absolutely. Yeah. They may not be able to get a $5. Well, they might be able to get a $5 Taylor Swift record, like CD, but when it comes down to it, they still want to own things. And the next option is the cheap option, and that's CDs. I would say cassettes, but cassettes are, obviously you don't have as much modern stuff on cassettes,
yeah,
but CDs, there's still stuff coming out. But when it comes to secondhand stuff, obviously the late 90s, the 2000s, the boom era of like hip hop, R&B, pop, alternative rock, grunge, any of that stuff, there's so much on CDs, including like, you know, New Zealand stuff as well. So the whole the reggae and indie thing that was really huge in Wellington, and yeah. So it's just cheaper, and it's, they can't really afford the humongous prices on vinyl. So they just buy CDs, you know, like I sell them for $5, $10, $20, $30 for the real good ones.
What are the real good ones?
Usually the real good ones are, you know, really good condition.
Yeah.
It'll be kind of more sort of like really cult artists. So popular wise, you're probably looking at bands like the Smiths, Beatles, really interesting, like psychedelic or like 80s post-punk, obscure jazz CDs. It just kind of goes anywhere, really. Anything that's like, you know, a pop culture icon.
And a limited supply, right? Like
a limited supply. Yeah. 90s hip-hop on CDs is so hard to find. 90s alt-rock, certain things are exceptionally hard to find, even on CD. So they're worth more. But generally, you know, like finding a Foo Fighters CD, they're $10-$15, Radiohead $10-$15, you know, it's actually quite cheap to get this stuff. There's just loads of it, yeah.
It's so interesting. When you say in mint condition, I mean, that has a pretty specific definition when it comes to vinyl. What does it mean when it comes to CDs?
Well, mint condition, sorry, I shouldn't have said mint condition. Mint condition is sealed and unplayed, but we're talking more, I should have said, like excellent condition or EX.
Right.
That just means no scratches. The cover is fine. And that's sort of, I'll charge more on the CD, but I mean, another example is, you know, we're talking about Nirvana. If I had like a Nirvana CD,
yeah,
whatever their stuff, you know, we're talking like $20 for a CD, but the vinyl is about $60.
Yeah.
I mean, that's three times the price for the vinyl. Admittedly, the vinyl will be brand new. I don't actually know what a brand new CD costs because I don't sell them. We don't sell. It's just not worth it. There's no sort of market.
No market for it. Yeah.
I think a brand new CD could be $40. But
man, that is
I wouldn't
nuts.
Have a clue.
That is nuts. Hey, $40 for a brand new CD.
I know. Oh, who's going to buy that?
People do. It's not just CDs either. VHS too. I got to say, I was surprised that VHS tapes have come around to being cool now.
Okay, so I not embarrassed or anything, but I actually collect VHS.
Yeah, yeah.
So I collect very B-grade horror, sci-fi, weird taboo stuff. Very strange.
Nice.
Yeah. Very terrible action movies that have guys with no shirt on. Uh-huh. Lots of muscles and a machine gun. Yeah, that stuff's really in, especially if it's ex-rentals. But when it comes to generally as like you know, VHS being popular, they've always been sort of popular for those weirdos,
yeah,
you know, that
right.
collected the cult stuff, the weird stuff. But cassette, like VHS in general, kids are buying them. Mm. It's really weird, you know? Like, I had, not that I have a lot of copies of it, but I will have a copy of, like, you know, Harry Potter or Spider-Man or some, you know, like Toy Story, and kids come in and buy it. You know, they buy their, they buy the these cassettes that they watched as a kid, or their parents showed them as a kid.
Yeah,
and they just want to own them. And yeah,
I remember going and staying with my cousin Georgia in Sydney once when yeah. I was maybe like 18 years old, and cool. she opened this drawer in her apartment, and it was her her DVD drawer.
Nice.
And so it was a long drawer. And it was just row upon row upon row of DVDs. And I remember thinking, that is so cool. That is so amazing. Look at all of this. There's such commitment there. There are so many cool and interesting movies. It's like a library. It was kind of like seeing a library. And while I get that Netflix has 1,000 times as many movies as yeah. I saw that day, and so does Neon, and so does Disney Plus, and they have TV series, and they have everything that you could want, and they have algorithms that can recommend you things that you might like.
Yes.
But they're just not as impressive as seeing them there right in front of you and being able to run your hands over them, are they?
Seeing someone's, you know, like, collective library is, pardon me, is, I don't know, it's just like someone's, you know, someone has found this stuff, they've gone out and collected it, and it's, you know, it's really precious to them. And to actually see something like, I mean, I know it was like a DVD collection, but back when DVDs, when people were collecting DVDs and you would see people's collections, it was so cool. It was so cool. I mean, I look upon my video collection in pride. Like, I love yeah. it. It's
well, it's you, right? It's you.
Yeah,
and
it's so stupid.
But like, do you know what I mean? It's you, whereas Netflix is everyone, but also no one.
Yeah. I love all the New Zealand content on Netflix.
Mm.
I don't think they've got any New Zealand content.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I think you might be right. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It feels like we're seeing more people getting into selling something on the side of their regular jobs. You know, side hustles where, yeah, as you say, the DVDs or the VHS tapes that they might have collected in their youth, which might have been sitting gathering dust, are actually worth something now. Are you seeing that as well at your store?
Oh, absolutely. So I do, for years I've used, I've been one of those people, I hate to say it, but I've been one of those people that have bought from Trade Me and I've sold on. I mean, you've got to do whatever you can do to survive, you know, and like, what I do is not a big money making sort of a business. You know what I mean? Mm. Like dealing in like secondhand music and things like that. It's not, you know, it's not high flying and all that stuff. So you've got to do whatever you can do. But that extends to on Facebook, so marketplace on Facebook and individual Facebook groups. So a couple that I'm a part of are like the Vinyl Lovers of New Zealand, which is a huge group, and that is it's not only is it just a group for expressing your love for records, but also it's a group for you know, like swapping and trading vinyl. Mm-hmm. There's cassette ones, like there's a VHS one that I'm on. I'm also on a Crown Lynn one as well.
nice.
But there's so many, you know, like there's so many different groups, toy groups and that. To go along with this Vinyl Lovers of New Zealand page that you can trade on, there is actually, I think there's about 3 other record groups that are sorely for trading. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can go on there and trade. But then that's just so different to Marketplace itself, which is on Facebook as well, because yeah. Market itself is actually, you know, you sell items on there. What I have noticed about Marketplace is the amount of stuff that's going up. So I'm always looking for, like, I'm looking for gaming stuff and videos and toys and I don't really look too much for records because that's, people have figured that one out. But with cassettes, VHS, sometimes CDs and toys and that, you know, there's still a chance to get a bargain. And that's kind of the really good thing about Marketplace. You can still get a bargain, but you can still make a lot of money out of it as well. So there's a lot of people out there. I don't know, like, we're living in a buying / selling era.
Yeah, there are so few.
It's not a buying era or a selling era. It is both.
It's such an open marketplace. Eh? There are so few barriers to entry, you know, and internet connections, all that you kind of need. I'm curious about, like, whether you have seen any specific pieces of media, movies, CDs, whatever, that have gone for, like, kind of eye-watering sums of money, you know, the people listening at home that might think, far out, I've got a copy of you know, Freddy versus Jason from back in the day that's sitting around.
I mean, yeah, when it comes down to it, VHS wise, yeah, it's all about old horror,
right?
I mean, that's kind of the pinnacle. That's that's where the weirdos are willing to spend and
so an
pay
old
money
school
for it.
Old school tape of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Absolutely, yeah, that's where it's at. And then for cassettes itself, for tape cassettes, I've been hearing stories of crazy stuff, like specific AC/DC cassettes going for in the hundreds, you know, in the hundreds, and we're talking, even someone on one of the groups said that there was a specific AC/DC cassette. I don't know if it was a New Zealand dub, but, you know, going for over $1,000.
Stop it.
Yeah. And the other day I was going through a pile of cassettes that came through that got traded in. I was pricing pretty quickly and appraising really quickly, and I was like, okay, I think this stuff over here is worth this and that. Looked up a few things. It was a couple of things I didn't look up, and when I went to price them, what I thought would be a $20 cassette out in the shop turned out that these two Kraftwerk cassettes are actually worth $100 each. They were New Zealand dubs. So I just took them home. I was like, oh, they're mine now. They feel a little bit bad, you know, that I'm considering I'm only buying these for not much off the person. So I sort of took them home and put them in my own collection without actually being that person and making, you know, a lot of money off someone's stuff. So
give them a good home and a good
story.
Yeah,
give them a good home and,
There's an irony here in that, you know, maybe a lot of the people who are driving the CD resurgence may well be young enough that they never actually really used CDs. Does all this make you feel old?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you'd hope they use it, but I mean, they can use it because most of these kids have a PlayStation 4 or 5, or they have an Xbox One or whatever the one after that is. Look, they've still got disc drives to be able to play. To be able to play CDs, so I'm pretty sure they're still playing them. Cassettes, ooh, that's a hard one. But again, the amount of tape players, boomboxes, cassette components that are on Marketplace and on Trade Me, I mean, there's a lot, so they can get it. The op shops still have tape players; they still have. They don't really have CD players that much, but they have DVD players. Mm. You can still use a DVD player to listen to that stuff. Yeah.
And I guess it's in the eye of the beholder. Love it.
That's right, yeah.
Upper Hutt, it's been great chatting to you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, man.
That is Upper Hutt. Upper's store is called Creeps Record Parlor, and it is in Wellington.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.